You're listening to Food Integrity Now with your host, Carol Gervais. Hello and welcome to Food Integrity Now. I'm Carol Gervais. I'm your host today. At Food Integrity Now, we envision a world without GMOs, a thriving world where our food is safe for our children and our grandchildren. If you share this vision, go to our website and join us. On the show with me today, I have Senator Marilyn Chase. She is a Washington State Senator. She was first elected to the House of Representatives in 2002 and to the Senate in 2010. She is the ranking member of the Senate's Trade, Economic Development, and Innovation Committee and serves on the Energy, Environment, and Telecommunications Committee. Senator Chase is a staunch believer in the power of economic development and of an educational populace. She is a defender of senior citizens, the developmentally disabled, and low-income people everywhere. Senator Chase works on a variety of issues, including tax reform, international trade policy, environmental health, economic growth, jobs and government operations, tribal relations, and food product safety issues. She is currently co-chair of the Yes on 522 campaign, Washington's state GMO labeling bill. Also on the show today, I have with me Karen Chase. Karen is on the executive team for the Yes on 522 campaign, working to ensure that genetically engineered foods are labeled in the state of Washington. She is a native of Washington, a graduate from the biology department at the University of Washington, and a mother of a 13-year-old son. In addition to her work as National Marine Fisheries Observer and Commercial Fisheries in Alaska, Karen is a founding member of Mayfield Chase General Contracting. She is an active member of the Federation of Democratic Women and chair of the 32nd Legislative District Democrats. Karen is also the sixth generation of her family to live in Washington, and she is acutely aware of the importance of planning for long-term sustainability for the seventh generation. Karen and Senator Chase, welcome to Food Integrity Now.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Carol. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have both of you on the show today. It's a real privilege. And Karen, let's just start out with you. I wanted to have you on the show today to discuss the Washington Initiative 522, which is the initiative that would require mandatory labeling of GMOs. And there was an interesting development last week regarding Washington State's Attorney General's Office and the Grocery Manufacturers Association. First of all, can you walk us through the timeline of what happened last week with this?
Yeah, absolutely, Carol. This is a great opportunity to talk about what's going on with Initiative 522 to label genetically engineered foods up in Washington. So what we have is our state attorney general, Bob Ferguson, recently stepped in to force the Grocery Manufacturers Association, which is the top donor to the No on 522 campaign, to fully disclose who is funding who is giving the money so that they're funding the No on 522 campaign efforts here. What this was initiated by was a group called Moms for Labeling, wanting the grocery manufacturers to disclose who had donated the actual $7 million that they've dumped into our state to defeat this Initiative 522. The last week, a Thurston County judge had decided that throughout the Moms for Labeling lawsuit on some technicalities, and said that if this needed to be pursued any further, the attorney general would need to take this up. And our attorney general did. They investigated, found that the people in Washington state do have a right to know who is funding political campaigns in our state. And he demanded that the grocery manufacturers disclose their funders, and they have done so. It's a very interesting lineup when we see it. Last Friday, the Grocery Manufacturers Association was forced to list, there's about three dozen companies who have contributed this $7 million to oppose our state labeling initiative. Topping the list are some companies such as Pepsi, Nestle, Coca-Cola, General Mills. And this information was not available to the people. And, you know, you got to think about this. If this no campaign is hiding who their donors are, what else are they trying to hide from us with this misinformation campaign they've got going?
Exactly. And so they technically were in violation of the law in not disclosing this before the complaint was filed.
Yeah, not technically. They were, in fact, in violation of the Washington State public disclosure laws. In Washington State, we have a very robust public disclosure organization out here. It's the Washington State Public Disclosure Association, and which requires the people of Washington State requires disclosure of who is funding this, so that the people of Washington State will know who is giving money to these political campaigns that affect real important things in our state.
So it makes me wonder if they had not been forced to disclose this information, how long and to what capacity do you think the GMA would have continued these practices?
Oh, I think they would have continued it as long as they could get away with it. It was disclosed that they had had a number of meetings, the GMA, to specifically hide who the donors were to this no campaign. So that they, I believe they called their committee the Brand Integrity Committee. And they set up a separate fund specifically to hide these donors from disclosure that they were contributing to this no campaign. Now, what's interesting about this is that with this disclosure by the Grocery Manufacturers Association, now that we're able to see the individual donors, Monsanto does top the list as the number one donor trying to defeat our right to know in Washington State by giving close to $5 million.
What techniques are you seeing from the No on 522 campaign that we saw in California? Are you seeing any different techniques, or are they just using the same old techniques that they used there?
Well, you know, it really looks like they're dusting off their playbook from California and trying to use the same one up here in Washington. They're pushing out a number of ads with TV ads. They're blanketing the airways with their $17 million, saying things that are distorting the truth, saying it's going to cost a lot, it's going to label dog food, it's going to have too many exemptions and hurt farmers. And a lot of the same techniques we have seen in the past of just trying to dominate the airwaves with lies and distortion. But what we're finding is that the people of Washington State, if we have one-on-one conversations and actually talk to folks about what's in the bill, that we have this huge mega corporations from outside Washington State funding this, while the people of Washington State, we've actually got over 14,000 donors now, want this labeling initiative and have a right to know what's in our food, then they vote with us.
That's great. It's all about the education, isn't it?
Completely about education. And so, you know, with them just dusting off their playbook, you know, it's on one hand, they think that money's going to just buy this for them, but that's not going to work in Washington State. You know, we have hearts and minds and the people against this. And as we learn the lessons of what California went through, we're able to see this clearly for what it is, which are large out-of-state corporations trying to influence the will of local jurisdictions.
Mm. So, Senator Chase, do you have any comment on this lawsuit, and what was your take on all of this?
Oh, I pretty much share Karen's analysis of it. I think it was... I'm rather amused that this the Grocery Manufacturers Association have such disdain for the state of Washington that they didn't even read our laws about campaign finance disclosure. You know, I'm just astounded that they were so poorly prepared.
Well, maybe they weren't poorly prepared, and they just thought they could get away with it.
Well, I think that's a possibility.
Right. Well, you know, I'm on their website, votenoon522.com, and their headline there is 522 would burden farmers, food producers, and grocers with more red tape. And it's got a picture of two individuals looking very confused down at this issue. And I think that they're relying on this very principle, and that is confusing the voters. What do you think about that?
I think you're absolutely correct. You know, people have an idea that somehow farmers are not already regulated. If you take a look at the Washington State Department of Agriculture regulations, it's RCW 69, and it regulates the intrastate growing of agriculture products. It's 58 pages long. Now, that's some real regulations. In the case of Initiative 522, the regulations would be that the farmers, when they buy their seed, would buy the seed with an affidavit. That seed would have to be accompanied by an affidavit swearing whether or not it was genetically engineered seed or not. And the farmers then could rely upon that affidavit. Two little clauses in an affidavit. It is or is not genetically engineered, and it has or has not been commingled with other genetically engineered seed. And on up the supply chain, the people can rely upon that very simple affidavit. Very simple. Now, so the farmers are not being over-regulated. Food processors are the ones who are so concerned about this, because they're saying, oh, we'll have to put that on there, that on the packaging that they have, that there might be genetically engineered ingredients. Well, yes, they would have to do that, but they change their packaging all the time. I think they're when they say it's going to cost so much money, they are assuming, and in their studies, they have assumed that their food processors will have to go to all organic ingredients. And that's just not so. You can get ingredients that are conventionally grown, but not grown with genetically engineered seeds. So they're just raising, specious arguments that have no relevance whatsoever to the initiative.
Well, it just makes sense to me that the food producers already have to put labels on there. They have all these other things that they're required to disclose. It's just one more thing to disclose. What's the big deal?
That's right. When the food processors make, you know, they have recipes. That's all they have. Mm-hmm. They disclose what's in their recipes. It is no big deal, but they know that 90% of the people in the country do not want to eat genetically engineered food. And so they have the idea, if we put a label on them, people won't buy their product. Well, you know, that's the market at work.
Right.
You know, they want it. They believe in the free market. Let the market play out.
Right.
You know, go back to conventional ingredients instead of genetically engineered ingredients.
Right. They also say that this cost would be passed on to the Washington consumers.
Not true. And we know that oftentimes organic food can cost more than conventional, because, you know, it's more labor intensive, for example, in growing organic. But they don't have to go to organic. You know, they can go back to conventional ingredients. You know, and so you know, I wish they would be honest about what they're saying. But, you know, it's more it's to their interest to try to confuse the voters. And I think it's reprehensible.
Yes, and I think that's a common misconception about the labeling issue, what you just stated about having to be all organic. And there's a difference. There's a big difference between GMO food and organic food and conventional food. And like you said, conventional food does not necessarily mean that has been genetically altered. So,
Yep. So
I think that's another tactic just to confuse the public.
Mm-hmm. No, I absolutely agree.
You know, and it makes me wonder, you know, with this GMA ordeal, you know, if they're hiding, they wanted to hide their contributors, what else are they hiding? That just makes sense to me. If they thought they could get away with this, what it's kind of like when one hand is doing this, what's the other hand doing?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, for example, who would have thought that Pepsi and Coca-Cola are made with genetically engineered ingredients? I mean, you know.
Right.
But it's worth it to them to pay millions of dollars to try to defeat honesty and openness in labeling. You know, our state leads the country in disclosure and transparency, not only in our political work, but in most of our, in what we do in our campaigns. And I think we should lead the country in full disclosure and transparency about what is in our food. We have a right to know what's in our food, just as we have a right to know who's trying to influence our public policy in our state.
I agree. And one of the questions that I have, either one of you could answer this, but I think Senator Chase, you know, being a senator in your state, what are the ramifications on a national level of a labeling initiative?
If we win, and when we win here in this state, there are about 30 other states across the country who are watching, and they have legislation prepared, and they are prepared to fight Monsanto state by state by state. And I think that it will be kind of a bellwether signal that the people in this country want to know what's in our food. And that, quite frankly, we do not have a lot of trust anymore in our the United States Food and Drug Administration, because they do not study the impacts of genetic engineering on the food supply. They have accepted Monsanto and Monsanto's bought and paid for scientists who say, oh yeah, this is safe. It is what they call substantially equivalent to a conventional food. And so the Food and Drug Administration in the late 90s told Monsanto, well, we'll accept your science. You just remember you're in charge. You're responsible for the safety of the food supply, but we'll accept your studies, and so we won't have long-term, we won't do our own independent long-term studies on any impact. So the result of all of that is that we do not have longitudinal studies on the safety of genetically engineered ingredients in our food. And what that means is the people in the states have believed that there's a legitimacy crisis with the Food and Drug Administration. So it's one thing, states in our system of federalism reserve the right to regulate. And so I believe that we're going to see across this country leadership on demanding full disclosure and transparency about what is in our food supply. And I think that it's going to be a pushback on food sovereignty and food security. If you control the food supply, you're pretty much in charge of things. So I think across the country that people are saying, no, Monsanto will not control the food supply. They will not control the seeds. You know, there are only four seed companies now. These companies are out buying up all the big seed companies.
Well, I know that.
And so you look at that and you just say, you know, if we can get to the tipping point with states passing a full disclosure on genetically engineered food, we think ultimately the federal government will have to step in and pass a full disclosure and transparency. And hopefully, maybe, the Food and Drug Administration will start testing, as they are supposed to do, about the safety of our food supply. We want science. We want real science. We don't want bought and paid for Monsanto science.
Right. And there have been a few really good animal studies. I know I just interviewed Dr. Judy Carman, who did the GMO pig feed study. I interviewed her last week, and that was considered a long-term study as far as on the animals, on the pigs, because they did this study for the entire commercial lifespan of the pigs. You know, they had two control groups, and it was a double-blind study. And there were major problems with the reproductive organs of the pigs, and also severe inflammation in the stomachs of these pigs. So I think we're going to be seeing more and more of these studies come out. And
I hope.
And, you know, so there's more and more evidence every day. You know, when people say, well, there's been no studies done, that's correct as far as long-term on humans. But there have been the animal studies. And the reason they used the pigs was because their digestive system is very similar to ours.
You know, what's interesting, this is Karen, that's what's interesting about this is that that's true. Hopefully, if we get this labeling law passed, we will have a tendency for more demand for these studies because it really is our right to know this information. And that's what's being blocked right now, is our right to have this information.
Yeah. I'm curious, Senator Chase, what's your take on a national labeling bill?
Opinion on it. I think it would be fine. I think that if the FDA were properly doing its responsible work, we would have that label. As it is, you've got a revolving door between Monsanto and the FDA. I mean, there's a real legitimacy issue here about the independence of the FDA and who they're working for.
Yeah, I think that's a huge issue. And it seems to me there are so many conflicts of interest out there with Clarence Thomas being on our Supreme Court and voting on issues that pertain to Monsanto. I, for the life of me, cannot figure out why he doesn't recuse himself from some of these cases.
He used to work for Monsanto.
Yes.
And the same thing where Michael Taylor, who's now in charge over there in the Food and Drug Administration, he goes back and forth between Monsanto and the FDA. And what's disappointing is President Obama said he was going to clean this up when he was running for office.
Yeah, we've heard that one, and I think that he sold out, is my opinion.
He certainly did not follow what he told us he was going to do when he was a candidate in 2007.
Yes, he did not. So. Before we came on air, you mentioned something about you were listening to an NPR program that you wanted to talk about the information that was being relayed. Can you share that with us?
Sure. Steve Scherer is doing a program this week on every day, apparently, on 522. And I heard him say that, how are we going to feed the billions of people? The people are saying we need GMO foods to be able to feed the billions of people, and that's just counterfactual. So I would like to point out, I watched the United Nations and the World Food and Agriculture Organization, but in 2050, as an example, and I can send you this information if you'd like to see it. But in 2050, there will be 9.3 billion people. On the earth, and that's like 37 years from now. And this is from the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization. It's a World Agriculture Towards 2015-2030. There's a 30% increase over the present world population of 7.1 billion. But in 37 years, we will have 85% more food than today to feed only 30% more people, because world food production increases by 2.3% every year, and it's done this in the last 20 years. So it's very, very clear that the vast majority of the food worldwide is still conventional, over 90%. It's not GMO. But even if world food production fell from 2.3% to only 1% increase per year, we would still have 37% more food in 1950 to feed only 30% more people. There's by no stretch are GMOs needed to feed the world? You know, GMOs are all risk, and I'm having a hard time trying to find the benefit.
Right. Well, I would love to post that on the show page to have that information for our listeners, because I think that's an important piece of information, because that is clearly a tactic that the biotech companies are using to promote their products.
Absolutely.
So we will post that on our show page. Okay. So I have a question. How can our listeners really help with this campaign? Because as we know, this is a very important initiative. And in my opinion, when this is passed, I think it's going to be like a snowball effect for other states to pass the mandatory labeling. So how can our listeners best serve the campaign right now to help Initiative 522 get passed?
Hey, Carol, that's exactly what we need to do. Is we need to get people out there doing one-on-one conversations, and the best way to do that is by phone banking. We need to talk directly to the voters, and we've got a great phone bank going where you can do it from the privacy of your home. So there's two things we can do. Number one, help with our GOTV efforts by calling voters in Washington State, and you can access that through the Yes on 522 website. Very easy. Number two is to send money. We've got to stay up on the air so that we can match these ads, and every little bit helps. If you can donate $52, that's wonderful. $5.22, that's great too. Every little bit helps. We can join these over 13,000 individual donors to keep this on the air. So two things: help with phone banking to remind people to vote, and send money. Those are the two, and also sending some really good energy. We are facing the Mega Millions of these folks who just have to turn the transfer switch to drop $5 million into this campaign. And the people of Washington State will not stand for that, but we do need help from everyone.
Right, and it's my understanding the mail-in ballots have gone out. People are receiving them in the mail, and it's very important to. I'm sure that the opposition is going to be gearing up their lies campaign, and so we need to really help educate.
Absolutely, you know, that's why Consumers Union just came out with an endorsement on Yes on 522. And we've got, you know, the Nurses Association, we've got the Farmers Market Association, United Farm Workers, hundreds of family farmers, you know, moms, fishers, farmers are all supporting this. And it's going to take all of us to counteract the distortions they're putting out there. And you mentioned, yes, Washington is an all mail-in ballot now. So we get our ballots, and then we have 3 weeks to turn them in. And that is, so we have 3 weeks to talk to folks. Right now we're down to 14 days to get folks to get their ballots in as quickly as possible. And that's what we need some help on the phones with.
Great. Senator Chase, do you have anything else you'd like to add for our listeners?
I would like to thank everyone for informing themselves, and I want to thank the media for picking up on this really important issue. You know, we are trying to do the people's business here, but even our 14,000 people who have contributed to the campaign, and they have joined the 350,000 people who signed the petition asking for this to go on the ballot. It's really difficult to fight the power of the corporations, you know, and I am very concerned that money is impeding our democracy, and I think, you know, for me, this initiative is about fighting for our democracy as much as it is about fighting for full disclosure and our right to know about what's in our food supply.
Very well said, and I concur with that. So thank you, both of you, for being on the show today, and thanks to our listeners. And go to the website, yeson522.com, and you can find out all kinds of information on there about how you can get involved. If you want to help with the phone banks, you actually even have something set up where people can learn how to talk on the phone banks and, you know, to answer questions. Are you still doing that?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's very easy. We can do trainings if people would like that, but it's pretty self-explanatory also on the phone bank. We have hotline numbers to call or email if anyone has questions whatsoever.
Okay, great. Okay. And again, that website is going to be posted on the show page as well, yes, on 522.com. So thank you very much, and we will be back next week with another great show.
Thank you, Carol.
Thanks, Carol.